Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, yes. Wednesday. And typically, I don't appreciate the Wednesdays. But Wednesday, October the 13th, 2021, hockey is back. Rangers with their season opener tonight in Washington against the Capitals. Yankees news. Kyrie Irving and Nets news. Stump Rothenberg at 6:45. Lot to get into. Red Sox and Astros in the American League will get a game 5 tomorrow night between the Dodgers and the Giants in the National League as the Braves await the winner of that. But before we do anything sports related, we say very good morning to one Rick DiPietro.
Good morning, David. Good morning. Hope you slept well. Hope your nap was a beautiful, deep, deep 3 hours of sleep. I had a big day yesterday, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, nice.
This is why, and this is going to seem like a small thing to people when they hear it, but they'll realize when I say it that when two men become as close as Dave and I have become,
yeah.
I mean, you start to prepare for certain things, like Dave's birthday is now important. We're getting closer and closer to Hanukkah.
Yes.
And the 8 crazy nights. And I'm
right,
saying to myself, what am I
going
to get my best friend?
Oh.
And it hits me yesterday like a bolt of lightning. It hits me what I'm getting Dave Rothenberg. For Hanukkah.
Now, are you saying this because you want to share it with the audience, or you just want people to know that you've determined what, in fact, you'll be getting me for Hanukkah?
No, I'm going to share it because, I mean, do you really need to be surprised, or this is something you can look forward to?
No, I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. By the way, for those of you scoring at home, Sunday, November 28th, Thanksgiving weekend also marks the beginning of Hanukkah this year.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
There's a lot happening.
Yeah,
welcome aboard.
It's a very early Hanukkah this year. From
very
Sunday,
early Hanukkah.
November 28th. Till Monday, December 6th. But I don't want to bury the lead. What are we thinking about?
All right, here's the lead. So last night I made a beautiful, beautiful steak for my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Rested it properly, took it to room temperature. Gorgeous sear on this thing. Perfect.
I don't want to give up the meat.
And I said to myself, I know what I'm going to do for Dave because he embarrassed himself a couple weeks ago. Talking
You're going to get me a meat thermometer.
Exactly right.
See, I saw it.
And this is going to change your life. Now, all of a sudden, you don't have to cut into the steak. Juices aren't flying everywhere. It's wireless. It connects to an app on your phone. You don't even have to worry about it.
Really?
Oh, my God. It's going to change your life.
I am thermometer boy right now.
Wonderful. Now, this is grill. Now, we can be Dave, the grill master Rothenberg.
I like it. I look forward to that. You know what disappoints me, by the way?
What?
And I wouldn't have said anything, except I'm getting tweets all morning. Like, can't wait for Santiago today. So excited to hear what he's going to say. How about Santiago? Just not showing up for work today.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. I mean, I'm watching him following his Twitter. He's taking pictures of the airport. I mean,
It's just not for Ray.
He's taking, I mean, if there's something to tweet about, he's tweeting about it. He's going for the world record.
Oh, he's tweeting his face off. I mean, he's in heaven down there getting free beers. He's at Jerry World. He's at the Star. I mean, he's probably at Stilettos. This guy's running wild. It's like Girls Gone Wild down in Dallas.
Yep.
But here's the problem, though, is he's trying to be sneaky. I turn on the Zoom. It's my main man, Ray Dinahan.
Yeah, it is.
Who I love and adore. And I'm like, where the hell is Santiago? Like, this is like an Omar situation.
Well,
we needed him on Monday. He's not here.
That's right.
We needed him on Tuesday to react to the Dallas win. He's not here.
Supposed to be back on Wednesday. and oops, he's not here.
And I know he landed because he tweeted about it.
I told you he'd land.
No, I know. It was a little touch and go with a nasty thing you said off the air. But he landed. I know he is physically here. And yet he chose to stay. Maybe his Dallas thing that he wears was dirty because of the trip and he wanted to make sure he had it.
Yeah, but I don't think he takes a day to clean that thing. And well, you know
who
what?
Knows?
I think he's missed his window. I don't, and you correct me if I'm wrong. Can he come back and destroy me on Thursday when the next week is already starting?
No.
I think he's missed his window.
Yeah, he should have called in on Monday at the very latest Tuesday. This is like when I take Cass out, you know, a little date night, and she's like a glass and a half deep of wine. There's my window. I let her take those last three sips, and it's night-night. I can't. I got to capitalize on that window.
Yeah, he missed the window. And you know what? People were excited. That's what upsets me today. I got literally my Twitter feed littered with, oh, can't wait for Santiago. So excited for Santiago. Even, oh, I hope Santiago's not too harsh on Dave because I don't want him to be mean to Dave. And no, you don't have to worry because he didn't show up for work today. And then he tells poor Ray Dinahan like 5 o'clock yesterday, by the way, you know what? I'm going to take the day. Who takes a vacation in football season?
You know what's crazy, though, too, is, I mean, of all days, like, this is pushing it. I mean, this is Stump Rothenberg. It's Wednesday. It's hump day, whatever you want to call it. I mean, not only does he have that win where he almost calls the score, right? I mean, he said they would hang, and then all of a sudden, you know, it would be clear that Troy Aikman was right. Dallas is in a different, in a whole different category than the New York Giants. On top of that, we get the rundown from RJ this morning, and the best part of it is the Giants are now, according to the power rankings, a worse team than the Jets.
Yeah.
You got to love that.
Oh, yeah. No, you have to. How could you not just adore that? See, I don't
know. We
got
to get into that, though. This is a real predicament the Giants are in now moving forward here.
And it took you to look at the rundown today to realize the Giants are in a real predicament?
No, it didn't take me this long. But then when you see it right in your face, and I just watched the Jets do what they did in London against Atlanta, And now you're seeing that the power rankings are telling you that the Jets are actually a better team, which, I mean, come on.
Now a couple things. Firstly, this is not all that enticing of a topic to get into in my mind at the moment. Secondly, and I will say this, and I'm not excited by this whatsoever, I think the Giants are a little better than the Jets right now.
No, I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all. That was the point. I mean, it's just injuries and everything else. But I don't want to get into that now because we're going to have to there's going to have to be a sit-down. Me, you, RJ, I think Dino deserves to be in the meeting now.
I agree.
This needs to be a Sean Marks, Joe Tsai, Kevin.
You know what?
Durant,
it's fair. I mean, we probably need to get upper management in of like, you know, are you going to come back to work? Are you not coming back to work? What is your plan? Because I'm sure he'll be there for the Rangers game tonight when they drop the puck in Washington.
I mean, are we getting part-time Santi or are we getting full-time Santi?
I think we have part-time Santiago. I think that's what we are locked into. And you know what? I connected via the Comrex today. And Dino's like, hey, good morning. I was like, oh, great, Dino. Wait a minute, what's going on with Santiago? Now I question, will he be there tomorrow? Here's the thing. There's Cal Ripken, and then all the way down on the other end of that line is, oh, and there's Ray Santiago.
Yeah, I would almost put, I mean, he's well below Stanton at this point.
That's true. He can't even play the outfield.
No, he can't. I mean, it's amazing. He must be resting up for the Rangers game tonight.
I guess.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, it's taken us this long because, I mean, you know, I've been working with Dino, you know, since I started. And we've been everywhere. We've been night, you name it. I'll tell you what. Attitude-wise, like just being in a good mood-wise, I think this time suits Ray Dinahan. Guy's got a smile on his face. He's chipper doing three stars. This is like his sweet spot right now.
And remember where we left off with Santiago. I'll punch you in the face.
Oh.
If you touch me, I'll attack you. You don't get that kind of vitriol from Dinahan.
No,
it's just not for Ray.
It's like, oh, good morning, guys. How are you? It's not. He's not ready to throw down. You're right. I mean, Ray Dinahan is, I guess, fair to say, a happier fellow than Ray Santiago at the moment.
I think maybe we have to go Price is Right today just to test him, see if he knows how to play Price.
I'm going
to
be
Right.
Price is Right guy. I'll say -299.
You know what? It's a fair question. Dina, let me ask you: if we were on the Price is Right, the three of us, and the item up for bid was, I don't know, let's say a dog leash, right? How much? Yeah, there we go. And I say $9.99. And RJ says $11.49. And Rick says $12.99. Where would you come in?
Well, depending on the dog leash, I think $10 is probably a little... It seems like a lot for one leash. You know, I don't know if it's retractable. But
so
I'd
where,
try
where
to fall
go?
Some... I would probably fall under the $10 and go like the $1 route.
There, see? He gets it.
He knows how to play.
This see?
Is, I will say this, though, Dino Hunt. You know, this is a leash that was worn by Dave.
Oh, one of those, huh?
It's a game-worn leash.
Yeah. Oh.
What, on the internet?
I didn't realize we were going there. Just exposing everything.
This is a Paul Giamatti situation from Billions.
That's a good show, by the way.
Very. Oh, but I was thinking of you. I was going to text you, and then it fell out of my mind the other day, by the way. And we'll get to Kyrie Irving in a second. You got me so annoyed with your...
Why?
Oh, I'll tell you. No. But then I agreed with you. Ted Lasso turned bad. And I'm like, you know what? Who are you to say that one of the great shows that I've seen in years turned bad? That episode where Beard, whatever that was...
That was his episode, yeah.
Oh, God, was that a bad episode.
Yeah, that was the big fight in the K show I was telling you about, because I agreed with Kay. Kay's like, that was not what the show was about.
It was terrible.
Like, it's art.
It was awful.
It was awful.
Who was it? Peter that took the other side?
Peter loved it.
Oh, it was. I didn't know. Was it real? Is this a dream? Like, what? It was terrible. It was awful. Mike, I'm sitting there watching with my kids, and like, Dad, what is going on here? So we haven't moved on yet. I heard it gets much better. I hear the finale is excellent. But yeah, no, you were 100% right. If that's the direction the show is going in, I'm out.
Well, here's the thing, though. So I did some research on it because I was disappointed because I love the show, right? So I guess initially it was supposed to be 10 episodes.
So they had
season one was 10 episodes.
They had to just make up an episode of nonsense?
Well, no. So they wanted two extra episodes. So rather than mess around with the actual story, they did two standalone episodes.
Yeah.
And that was one of those standalone episodes.
But even if the goal was to do a standalone episode, like they were up against it, we don't want it to really tie into the plot line, you didn't need to do that.
No, I don't think so either.
That was dreadful.
I felt like that was a waste of time for me.
It was dreadful.
Because I'm not that interested in him.
I like
that
him.
That character doesn't interest me much.
I like him. But aside from that, it was weird. The whole thing was just strange.
Yeah. You know my taste in shows, because we don't get a chance to watch many shows. Like, I'm not... like interested in sitting down and having to like think about like what the meaning of this
is. No, I didn't like that.
I'm too
I didn't
lazy
appreciate
for that.
It at all. At all. I feel like I was watching a movie about the Doors. So I'm glad that they're gonna move on from that. All right. So I think that the Nets did the right thing yesterday. And I know this is kind of a polarizing topic, but I don't see how. I mean, the rule is you need to be vaccinated. He's not and won't be. And then it turns out he wants to be like the voice of people who aren't going to be vaccinated. I don't know what to believe with Kyrie Irving at this point, but I think this is the right move from the Nets. You're not going to be vaccinated. You're not going to half play. You're not going to show up for road games. We're not going to have this approved practice schedule for you. If you're not vaccinated, you're not going to be with the team. I like what they did yesterday.
Yeah, see, here's the thing, though. So, I mean, the report yesterday was that the reason why Kyrie is so adamant about this stance is because he wants to be the voice for the voiceless. He wants to stand up for the people that are losing their jobs because
right.
they're deciding not to get vaccinated. Here's the thing, though. You can't be the voice for the voiceless if you don't speak. Right? Like, I mean, we have to hear why you're making or taking the stance that you're taking. And listen, I have no problem with it. Like, if you want to, you know, if you want to have... you know, all these different things away from basketball that you're interested in doing. And if you want to, you know, social activism and everything else, because the guy does, you know, a lot of really good things. I mean, you're talking about a guy, he bought George Floyd's mom a home. He paid, you know, tuition for a bunch of
yes.
HBCU students. I mean, the guy does, he donated, you know, $1.5 million to the WNBA players. Like, the guy goes out of his way and to help, which is great. But, I mean, you're at a point now where... either you can do both, you can do all the stuff away from the court that makes you happy, and at the same time, you know, be a part of this Brooklyn Nets team that's trying to win a championship, or you can't. You gotta choose. You gotta do one or the other if you can't handle doing both. And let's not pretend like this was strictly a Sean Marks and Joe Tsai decision. I mean, Sean Marks was like, no, this was my decision because he wanted to take Kevin Durant off the hook. But this was Kevin Durant, James Harden, Joe Tsai, Sean Marks, apparently from the original report we got from Woj, Steve Nash wasn't really involved in the decision.
Well, does that surprise you, that Steve Nash isn't involved in this decision?
No.
But I guess my question to you is, and maybe I'm missing something, how does this raise awareness?
Like, first of all,
it doesn't unless, but it doesn't unless you use your platform. You can't be, you know, I don't have any comment on this. I don't want to let people know if I'm vaccinated or not. Like, if this is something that you really believe in and you want to be their voice, you want to be the face of this, then get out there and be the face of it. Use your platform. Use the media. I'm sure you could pick up the phone today and, you know, they would send Malika wherever you wanted.
Oh my God. Sit down with you could be, are you kidding me? He could be in the national news, like the ABC David Muir news if you wanted to do a sit down.
Yeah, I mean, he has that opportunity. Him being who he is has afforded him that opportunity. So, I mean, now they're in a situation where, you know, they had to make a decision. We need to decide whether or not we're going to allow him to be a part-time player. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's going to miss the 41, you know, the 41 home games plus the games at Madison Square Garden. How about this, though, too? So I'm going through all this stuff yesterday, and unfortunately it didn't come out during our show, but we had plenty to talk about.
Right.
Try to guess. So there's been 241 possible games. This is including the playoffs.
Okay.
Over the last three seasons since he's been with the Nets. How many of those 241 games do you think Kyrie's played in?
136.
81.
Wow.
So he's really, I mean, he's already essentially a part-time player.
Wow. 80. So he's playing in a third of the games.
Yep. So I get it because it is your choice. It is your choice. You have to decide whether or not you feel comfortable taking this vaccine.
But apparently he does feel comfortable taking the vaccine, as the report yesterday.
Yeah, but we don't know that. That's the issue, is we don't know. What is it? Is it you don't feel uncomfortable? Because there's reports all over the place. You have people speaking for you. I mean, you turn one show on and it's, you know, Kyrie's not getting the shot because there's you know, conspiracy theory that they're trying to inject him with the microchip. And then the report comes out yesterday that it's more about being a voice for the voiceless that are losing their jobs because they don't want to get vaccinated. So we don't know what it is. Like, just tell us what it is.
That's right. But just even tweet it out. Send a press release. Sit down with Malika. Sit down with David Muir. Spend 10 minutes with that. Let us know what's going on. Instead of us sitting here at 5:15 in the morning speculating what's going on with Kyrie Irving. But you know what? That's what it's going to be. Until you put a stop to it, which is well within your power, that's what it's going to be. That's the narrative. What's with him? I don't know. Let's discuss what it possibly could be. And you know what else, Rick? I don't know what's true with this guy. I have no idea. He is a wild card. And I'm telling you, if I was Kevin Durant, I would be at my wit's end with this guy.
Well, yeah, not only just Kevin Durant. I mean, you know Kevin Durant and him are close friends. That's the reason why.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the reason why the Nets were willing to deal with Kyrie and the fact that he is a wild card and he can be a distraction. Like, all the things that come with Kyrie, they're willing to accept because Kevin Durant, you know, was a part of that package deal. So now you're stuck dealing with it. Last year, you were stuck dealing with it. So, I mean, if anyone should be frustrated, it's probably, I mean, Sean Marks, because he's turned this team completely over to these three players. And now they're in a spot where, yeah, are they good with Kevin Durant and James Harden and the additions that they made? Patty Mills, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge is back, Bruce Brown. Like, they have, you know, plenty of talent. But, I mean, you're talking a different level if Kyrie Irving's around for the entire season.
Oh, you could
stay healthy.
If they wanted to, you could look at a team, I believe, that would challenge the Warriors, you know, win record. They won't, and I don't think they care about that at all, but they could. Like, that's the level of talent that they have.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, this is what made it such an interesting decision, too, is because you're talking about a team last year that, had they stayed healthy with all the distractions, him going AWOL, the injuries, you know, Harden injured, I mean, you name it. I mean, they barely played with each other.
And they would have won the title.
Well, yeah, but they were still, I mean, even then, though, I mean, they're still, you know, Kevin Durant wearing sneakers that actually fit away from all of a sudden, you know, beating Milwaukee.
That's right. And that's without Kyrie and without James Harden.
Without a healthy James Harden.
Exactly.
So I think that's part of the mindset, though, too, for them is like, look what we did last year when we didn't even play together. Guys were hurt and everything else. Even if we have them part-time, it's better than not having them at all. But I think it runs, when you listen to Joe Tsai and how he feels about it, about getting the vaccination, and, you know, it's part of your social responsibility, and all the conversations surrounding this, where, you know, it was pretty much, yeah, the Nets have no control. Sean Marks has no control. Joe Tsai has no control. You got Kyrie, Kevin Durant, and James Harden running this thing, and they'll do whatever they want. At a certain point, they had to take a stand. I just think the timing is interesting because it felt like at the end of last week when you had Jay Williams reporting that because Josai is who Josai is and the amount of money he has, all the things he's doing in Brooklyn, that he would, you know, flex his muscles a little bit politically and, you know, see if there was a loophole. And it comes out on Friday that Kyrie can practice at home because that's not considered a gym. It's a private office building.
It seemed ridiculous. We were going down a really bizarre path.
No, but I know. But to go from that where, okay, like it seemed like there was some hope moving forward that they would figure out a way around this to now all of a sudden this announcement. You got the Woj report that they were going to sit down and then the announcement that, you know, we're all set with having a part-time player. That happened in a hurry.
Right, and you changed on a dime. Yeah, and you changed on a dime. You know what? When you're ready, you come back to the team.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
One more quick call on Kyrie, and then I think we turn our attention to the Yankees and what will potentially happen with them. Let's go to Hamilton in the Bronx. Good morning, Hamilton. You're next up on 98.7.
I got a question about him. Like, not a question, like a statement. I look at it like this. Like, he has, like, all these points and, like, all these, like, fights he's trying to fight for, but he's not clear on what he's doing. Like, nobody knows. And it almost comes off as, like, snobby that, like, we don't know what he knows or we're not fighting for what he's fighting for. And that was my only statement I had.
I think you're right. And I think on top of that, he's basically told you, right? He said, I don't care. You're lesser than me. I don't really care what you think. So how am I supposed to defend the guy that thinks that he's better than everyone else that he's talking to?
Yeah, intellectually, he's at a different level. Like, I have no time for you because I couldn't even explain it to you.
Right.
Because
you're not at my level. So why would I even waste my time? Well, how am I supposed to have sympathy or empathy for that kind of a person?
Oh, I don't think he can. Again, and I think there's plenty of people that want to support Kyrie. Just tell us what we're trying. Just tell us what we're supporting. Like, just explain to people what the goal of this is. Because I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel. I mean, that are upset that people are having to make that decision and that are losing their jobs. But is that really what the case is? Like, is that what you're fighting
for? You have no idea. And I'm telling you, and I was sitting here and I was saying till I'm blue in the face, until he comes out and says something, I am not going to be defensive of Kyrie. I can't take his side because I don't know what his side is.
Well, at this point, though, Dave, how could you take a side if the guy who has done nothing but stick up for him the entire time, the reason why, you know, Kevin Durant came to Brooklyn was because he wanted to play with Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen A. told you, from everything he's been told, there's not a decision that gets made with the Brooklyn Nets without it being run by Kevin Durant. So Kevin Durant was in this meeting, as much as Sean Marks wants to say it was his decision. They sat down, Josai, Sean Marks, KD, James Harden, and the group made the decision that we can't have this distraction hanging over our heads.
That's right. So I wonder if KD's allegiance to Kyrie is waning a little bit.
Well, doesn't it have to be? I mean, if he signed off on this, doesn't it have to be?
I would think. And then you hear the reports that Stephen A. said that, you know what, if they wanted to trade him, he would be on board with that as well.
I don't think they can trade him at this point, though.
No, I don't think there's value for him because you don't know what you're going to get in return if you're that other team. But my point is, I'm sure there was a time up until very recently that Kevin Durant would have said, no, there's no way I would allow you to trade Kyrie Irving. I think we are past that now. Like, if it could be done, I think that Kevin Durant would say, you know what, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, that was not too long ago either. That was the initial speculation. Is maybe, yeah, but we talked about it. I mean, we said that it would make sense maybe Kyrie to Philadelphia for Ben Simmons.
That absolutely would make sense.
Well, and then they said, yeah, there's no way that would, you know, but then the report came out that there was no way that, you know, Kevin Durant would sign off on that.
Well, I think if you were Brooklyn, you could get that deal done. You would get it done in a heartbeat. All right, we can revisit this in the 7 o'clock hour, but I want to spend a little bit of time on the Yankees now. Buster only has the report yesterday that it looks like the Yankees are probably going to retain one Aaron Boone. And then Michael Kay on his show yesterday said he's not expecting any changes really at all for the Yankees.
This is how I think it's going to come down. Cashman's not going anywhere. I don't think Boone is going anywhere unless there's something unforeseen that happens. I think there'll be a couple of coaches that will be going somewhere. I don't know which ones, but that's the most I could get today. A couple of coaches will, in fact, not have their jobs.
So there we go with the Yankees. So you're going to run it back with Boone. You're going to run it back with Cashman. Yeah, here's the thing, and I think you would agree with me. They're not good enough. The way they're currently constituted, the Yankees are not as good as, I mean, do you understand the Astros just went to the ALCS for the fifth straight year?
Yep.
So they're not as good as the Rays. I think it's fair to say they're not as good as the Red Sox. The Yankees are in the, I don't know, 4-6 range right now in the American League. So if you're going to bring back Cashman and you're going to bring back Boone, you're going to have to make, I would think, real changes to the roster makeup of this team heading into next season.
Yeah, but isn't that what we thought was going to happen, though? I mean, Cashman has a year left on his deal. And, I mean, always the question, right, is if you're going to fire the manager, who are you going to hire? And if Cashman is still here, it's going to be someone that's similar to Aaron Boone. And I don't know how many guys are roaming around that have, you know, previous managerial experience that are going to be like, you know what I mean, that are going to be as receptive to doing exactly what Brian Cashman wants to say, wants to do. So you keep Boone. I mean, and then clearly the move is to upgrade the roster. And you reset the luxury tax, so I don't want to hear about that. And now we need to see what we're doing at shortstop, what we're doing behind the plate, what we're going to do at first base. Like, those are the questions that need to be answered.
What are you going to do with Glaber? What happens
with
LeMahieu?
They're going to keep him at second base. I mean, it's
Then LeMahieu plays third, and then you're done with Urshela.
No, I think they would have to. I think they would use LeMahieu more in the jack of all trades role.
So he'll get a day at first, and a day at second, and a day at third, and a day at DH, and then so you're just going to rotate around like that?
I guess. What are you going to get for Gleyber Torres at this point?
I don't know. I don't. I can't imagine that you bring Sanchez back as your catcher next year, can you?
Well, Higashioka's showing you he's not a full-time
catcher. Well, I think you need a full-time catcher.
Like, in spot starts as a backup, catching Gerrit Cole, that's good. That's fine. That's great. He fits perfectly, but he's not a guy that you're going to rely on every single
game. No, he's not a 130-game catcher. There is no way. Now,
but
Buster
Hal told you this, though. Why is everyone surprised? Hal Steinbrenner told you this, though.
That he didn't blame Boone and or Cashman, yes.
Yeah, he said this was a player problem, and I don't think he's wrong. Guys underachieved. Most of the guys on this team underachieved. And I think that's the biggest difference, though, because I hear people, I mean, we don't have, you know, and they go through the list of all these young players that these teams have developed, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, well, last time I checked, the Yankees drafted and developed Aaron Judge, didn't they?
They did.
And he's one of the best players in baseball.
Okay, but here's the thing. When was that?
Okay, that's fine.
That's a decade ago.
Okay, hold on one second. Here's the thing, though. Let me finish the point. Is the reason why these teams have all now, I mean, he said close the gap. Like, we're talking like these teams are now starting to lap you because they've caught up and more, is those guys, those Aaron Judges, so, I mean, you pick the team. So let's go Houston, for example. Altuve, Correa, Bregman, right? Like, those foundational pieces have continued to develop and continue to be some of the best players in baseball, right? You're seeing it with the Blue Jays now with, you know, Vlad and Bichette, right? They made some nice additions. And you got Biggio. Like, they have those young foundational pieces that continue to get better and, you know, are starting to reach their potential. The problem with the Yankees is the guys that you thought were going to be the foundational pieces, your new core four, only one of them has continued to get better. One.
That's right.
You thought that Torres would be that guy? He hasn't been.
Now Sanchez was going to be that guy? He has not
he
been
hasn't
that
been.
Guy.
Right? So, like, those guys have been the ones that have let you down. They haven't played to their potential.
That's right. Who is the young player with the Yankees that you look at? You're like, okay, we're gonna build around him.
Well, it's not just position players, too. I mean, Davey Garcia was supposed to be that guy this year.
You didn't even see him this year.
You didn't even see him this year.
And the one that your hopes are all set on is Jason Dominguez, and I'm told that he don't get overly excited about him at the moment.
So that's one of the issues for me. I mean, even you look at the Red Sox, Devers, stud. Bogarts, stud. I mean, those guys consistently play at a high level. I mean, Gleyber Torres over the last 2 years has not been good.
No, he's not.
From where Gary Sanchez started to where he's at now, I mean,
he's regressing.
It's been a steady decline.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Best friend, Buster Olney, was on with Greeny yesterday. You want to hear what he had to say about the Yankees and how much he thinks they're going to spend this offseason?
Of course I do.
I knew you would. Here is Buster Olney yesterday on Greeny.
there is a broad expectation within the industry that the Yankees, after getting their payroll under $210 million this year and resetting, and with a new CBA coming up, there are folks with other teams who think the Yankees are going to be monsters in the free agent market this winter. That has to factor into the equation as well if you know that there's a chance your shortstop next year is going to be Corey Seager.
They're going to spend so much money this offseason, and the fans are going to be so excited because, you know what? They're going to get back to their old ways, I think, of we're going to just throw money at the problem. We can't. Don't you think they have to understand they can't play the Rays game and win that game yet?
Well, they can't strictly play the Rays game, no. I mean, the Rays are clearly better at it than they are. Yeah, I mean, that's the advantage that they have of being the Yankees, is they can go out and outspend other teams.
That's right. We can make mistakes and then go out there and throw money at the problem.
Correct. Yeah, I'm sure the Rays would love to spend, I mean, way more money than they're able to spend, but that's just, I mean, that's the reality where they're at.
Right, that's who they are. But look at that team. I mean, you look at Wander Franco, and you look at some of the youth on that team, they're going to be good for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, look at game one. I mean, yeah, McClanahan starts. You got, I mean, you Wander Franco. You got a Rosarena.
Boz started game two, right? I mean, they started a rookie in game one and game two of the division series.
Yeah, I mean that's how they do it. That is their recipe. They, you know, they draft well, they develop well, and then, you know, once, you know, you got a Blake Snell who's making a certain amount of money, it's okay, we have to move on and we bring the next guy up. That's cheaper, more affordable. I mean, the Yankees have the luxury of not having to deal with that.
That's right. And the Red Sox are somewhere in the middle, right? They have the Rays philosophy with Chaim Bloom, but they also have deeper pockets than Tampa does.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. They have way deeper pockets than Tampa does. I mean, they're right there with the Yankees as far as they want to spend.
But by the way, how about the fact that they're in the American League Championship Series? What do you think? I mean, what do you think like a really optimistic, positive Red Sox fan would have said coming into the season? If we are 85 wins, we've had an amazing year.
If somehow we manage to get into a wild card game, it's an amazing year.
Right? They are now in the American League Championship Series. And if you said to a Yankees fan, what is your worst nightmare? This has to be it, right?
To have Houston and Boston
yep.
in the CS, yeah. Oh, well, we talked about when the playoffs started, right? Like the run that this Yankees team could go on if they went through Boston and then they got a chance to go through Tampa and then they got a chance to go through Houston and win a World Series. As bad as the season was, it would be an epic run to a, mm-hmm. to a championship.
And they got none of it done.
No, they got the reverse of that. Now they got to watch Boston and Houston. But I think what you've seen in the postseason this year, too, is, and I don't necessarily agree with it because it frustrates me to think that I play 162 games and then we get to the postseason and it's just a crapshoot. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there is something to be said about that. It is kind of a crapshoot.
It is, but isn't every sport kind of like that, though?
I don't think basketball is like that.
No, I agree with you. Basketball is not like that, but football's one game. And hockey, I mean, you get eight seeds and beat one seed all the time.
Yeah, but that's what makes football a crapshoot a little bit is because it's only one game.
Right.
By definition, that is, you know what I mean? That's what makes that a crapshoot. But, I mean, I would say, yeah, I mean, even hockey, I mean, there's eight seeds that make runs, right?
Look at Montreal last year.
Yeah, don't even bring that up. Because, I mean, we get by Tampa, we win the Cup. It still aggravates me. That series was the Stanley Cup Finals.
Tampa, it absolutely was.
Tampa Islanders was the Stanley Cup Finals. But the other thing, though, too, is, I mean, we say this all the time. It's hitting your stride at the right moment of a season. Playing your best baseball, playing your best football, playing your best hockey, playing your best basketball at the right time of the season. And Boston right now, I mean, their bullpen has been, I mean, way better, has performed way better than anyone thought.
Well, and it's way better than it was in the regular season. I mean, remember, they started the season with Matt Barnes as their closer. Well, not even in the equation at this point.
Well, because now in the postseason, you have the luxury of taking starters and putting them in the bullpen.
So now Nick Pivetta comes out of the pen, right? They talk about the Chris Sale could have pitched the other day. I mean, there are guys that you can't pitch in the regular season in the big moment that you can in the postseason.
And give Boston credit, too, though. Some of the offseason acquisitions that Chaim Bloom made.
Like Kike Hernandez.
Kike, Renfro. Those guys have had good seasons, really good seasons.
They bring in Schwarber. He's, you know, hitting bombs at a leadoff spot now.
Yeah, it's too bad they didn't bring in Schwarber instead of Gallo. Gallo was such a disappointment, man. I thought he would be so much better than he was.
Oh, God. Well, but did you? I mean, this is, first of all, he's never played in a big game in his life. And secondly, look at his numbers. You say you're surprised. Should you have been surprised that Joey Gallo is a bad hitter who has some power, who's going to run into everyone now and again?
I didn't think he would strike out in half of his at-bats.
That's what he is.
I don't think he was that bad in Texas.
He never played in New York before.
He was striking out in half his at-bats.
But he's a 215 hitter. Like his best day, that's what he is.
But that ultimately is what buried the Yankees team, though. The guys that you're relying on didn't have good seasons. I mean, LeMahieu not being available in that wild card game was a huge problem because now we got Joey Gallo. Because
the lineup was comical.
Batting cleanup. So now I'm sending Judge from third and then trying to tell us that it was the right send.
Do you think it went through Nevin's mind as Judge is hitting third and he says, I'll have first and third and one out, but I have Gallo coming to the plate? Like, do you think if that was what you looked at as a legitimate batter coming up next, and he says, you know what, hang on, big fella, let's bring up the next guy?
See, I don't know how much that goes through your mind in that moment, in the heat of that moment, that I know Joey Gallo's on deck. There's only one out. I'm still going to, unless he hits into a double play, which is rare because he's either, he doesn't hit sack flies, and he usually strikes out. So I'm still going to have Glaber up with a chance to score Judge. I mean, it wasn't really even close, that play.
No.
I get you got to make the perfect throw, and you know what I mean? It's got to all go the right way, but still. I mean, there's a reason why, and Kate tried to explain, the Yankees' philosophy is, you run on contact. That's why they had, 22, Judge being the 23rd guy thrown out at home. That's not just we run on contact. There's some questionable sends.
It's a bad philosophy.
Baked in.
If that's your philosophy, you better come up with a new philosophy because it's not working.
That's what to blame. Base running in all honesty, you want to blame somebody? Seriously, in all honesty, you want to blame somebody? Forget blaming Boone. Blame the analytics department. The analytics department and how they deploy their analytics is not nearly like blame the players for sure, but how they deploy their analytics is clearly not as good as these other teams.
It's not even close. It almost feels like the Yankees are like Giants-esque in the way that they're playing this game. We've got computer folks. We could do that.
Yeah, I don't understand though. Like, why shy away from what you are? Like, I mean, you should flaunt who you are. Like, don't shy away from it. You're the Yankees.
They don't want to because they think that there's somehow more honor. At least this is what it feels like to me. More honor in winning a championship if you are playing the way these other teams have to play.
But it's not cheating, though, Dave.
I know it's not cheating.
To feel a lack of honor winning a championship, it would be the Houston Astros because it was proven that they cheated. And you ask them, no, they did. Everyone else was cheating, too. We just did it better.
And they don't care. Right. They don't feel a way about it.
When was the last time the Yankees won a championship? Remind me.
2009.
Okay, what did they do?
They bought it.
They went out and spent a ton of money.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's what people want. They want results. Who cares? Because a couple Mets fans.
But you don't think that that's their mindset? You think that that's a crazy belief that I have, that the Yankees
think
that
we can try to win it the way
the Rays do? We'll get down and dirty and beat them at their own game? You can't beat them at their own game. They're better than you at that.
I've said it the entire time, though, that it feels like Hal and Brian Cashman want to prove to people that they can win in a different way than George did.
But
they want to separate themselves.
You can't. At least right now, you can't. You can't.
Well, no, they're, like, 2009. They're caught in the middle. They're stuck in the middle. Like, you're not going to win. Clearly, you can't win being in the middle, where you want to rely this heavily on analytics and you want to use the 210 as a salary cap. Like, clearly, like, this isn't working. Like, how you're trying to win right now isn't working. It hasn't been successful.
But here's the thing. If you don't get rid of Cashman, which I'd be shocked if they did.
They're not
going
to get rid of Cashman.
If you don't get rid of Boone, which it seems like they're not going to do, and you don't make sweeping changes to the team, why in the world would you think this club is going to win anything rather than what they've won over the last couple of years next season?
Because the analytics would tell you that based on the numbers, this was just a season where the roster underachieved.
But they all are now.
I don't disagree with you, and I think there's going to be sweeping changes. Because there are gaping holes in this team that need to be addressed. Gio Urshela, as much as he says I would be happy playing shortstop, he cannot play shortstop full time for the Yankees.
They're going to go out and spend big. Corey Seager, Trevor Story, Correa, they're going to spend big money on a shortstop this offseason.
Yeah. I mean, you have to address shortstop. You have to address first base. You got to figure out what you're doing behind the plate.
That's right. Center field. Am I rolling back with Hicks and Gardner again next year?
You got to figure out what you're doing with your outfield now that Hicks is coming back. Because, I mean, Stanton has shown you enough. I mean, do you take advantage of the fact that Stanton had a really good year and stayed healthy?
Or do you worry that's another mirage? Like, do you think you can get 50 to 70 games in the outfield from Stanton next year? Is Judge going to stay healthy all next season? Am I going to sign him to a long-term deal?
Yeah, those are the questions that need to be answered, because the last thing you want to do is do what you've been doing where, you know, you hold on to these guys and then things go sideways and now they're untradeable, or you're going to get pennies on the dollar for them. Like,
that's
Miguel
right.
Andujar should have won Rookie of the Year.
You can't, I don't even know that you can trade him now. Voight, I don't even know that you could trade him now. Clint Frazier, I don't know what he even gets in return at this point.
That's the other thing they have to figure out. You know, why all these guys that have such promising starts just continue to...
To fade? Yeah. It's a good question. This is going to be a very interesting offseason for both the Mets.
What happened to Gleyber Torres? Seriously, what happened to him?
I don't know.
Like, he was, in all honesty, 2 years ago, in 2019, he hits, you know, 38 home runs, and I get it. Well, there was a lot against the Orioles. Well, who cares? I mean, we're having conversations that he may end up being the best Yankee out of all of them. In the last 2 years, he's been on a steady decline.
Look at what he's done. He's completely mediocre. Yeah, I mean, he was bad this year. He wasn't even mediocre this year. If you put his numbers up against the average shortstop or second baseman, they pale in comparison to average.
Yeah, I mean, power gone. Extra base hits. I mean, it looked better when he was at second, but, I mean, between him and Sanchez, I don't know if it's pressure, whatever it is, but they got to figure that out.
And quickly, Pedro Hernandez tweets, "I don't care about honor. Buying a championship is not cheating. Screw the analytics." So you know the way the Yankees fan feels. You ready for a little Stump Rothenberg right now?
Oh, it's my favorite day of the week.
You have a question ready to go?
Don't ask me that question. I always have a question ready to go.
My question is, do you have a question? And let's go. Let's start it up.
He's confident.
I want to be a college professor.
He's arrogant.
I'm the talent.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You like his book. You should read his book.
I don't read.
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Uh-oh. And let's bring him in. The man that is the table setter on Stump Rothenberg, the one and only Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DP and You know, Monday morning, 39, talked a little bit about running back duos, which leads me to today's question. Mm-hmm. Brandon Jacobs and Derek Ward are one of two NFC running back pairs have 1,000 yards in one season. Can you name the other NFC running back pair to accomplish that feat?
You have any idea about this one?
I have an idea, yeah. I don't feel great about it, but I think I know it, but I wouldn't want to steer you in the wrong direction.
It's not going to be the Cowboys. Darryl Johnson was never that guy.
What about Tampa?
I don't think it was Tampa.
Did Allstott ever have a 1,000-yard season?
I don't think. Dunn and Allstott you're going with? I don't think so. I think the Browns did it, but obviously that's AFC. Now, is this a trick? Could it be the Falcons? Did he say running backs? Because I think
running backs.
Uh-huh,
because I think
Vic and Dunn got to 1,000, right?
Yeah, but I said running back.
Yeah, you sure did. How about the great acquisition the Giants made?
Who was
once a really good player. Jonathan Stewart and Memphis' own D'Angelo Williams? Could that be the answer?
Bang! You got
nice.
It, buddy.
There we go. Okay. That
Don't
was pretty
his
nice.
Leadership that he brought to the room, Dave.
He was tremendous. It was a good signing. All right, you're up. Go ahead.
Very good acquisition. Love Dave Gettleman. All right, here we go. This is a tough question. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Okay. Where are we going, at least? Where are we
NFL.
Going? NFL.
And it's going to bring back some painful memories.
Great.
From Sunday. Trayvon Diggs is one game shy of tying the longest season-opening interception streak in NFL history. So there are three. He's at 5 straight games through 5 weeks. There are 3 tied at 6. All I'm asking is for the most recent player to go 6 straight with an interception.
Bezenhout?
Nope. Not Bezenhout. I can give you the year.
I don't want the year.
If I give you the year, I know you'll get it.
I don't want the year. I don't know. I know that there. So to start a season is what makes it tricky. Because yes. I think the all-time record is eight.
This is six. Start of season is
but
six.
I don't.
I want most recent.
Yeah. See, Devin McCourty might be this guy. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I think
I can
Mike
tell you Tom Landry did it in 1951.
Mm-hmm.
With who? I can tell you that Barry Wilburn did it in 1987. Now I'm looking for more recent than that.
I'm going to guess, and I don't think that it's right. I'm going to say Devin McCourty.
No, that isn't correct.
Ugh.
It was Brian Russell in 2003.
That's a tough question.
Very tough question. That's why I only asked for the most recent.
That's a tough one. All right. Well, good for you. You got it done. You stumped Rothenberg. Let's go to Tony in Hicksville. Tony, you are also on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning. In honor of Hispanic Heritage Month, who was the first NFL player born in Latin America to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Give this to me again.
First player born in a Spanish-speaking country, Latin America, to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
How long ago was this? Was it, how long ago did he play?
Could it be Plunkett?
Is this way back, or is this like how recent is this?
So you're looking for the year.
Well, I don't want the year. I mean, some sort of time frame would be nice.
He's not going to give that to you.
He's playing hardball right now.
Yeah, no, this is serious business. Now, was it a player? Like, could it be Tom Flores?
Yes, player. A player.
So it's not going to be Tom Flores. You said Latin America?
Yes. Any Spanish-speaking country, yes.
Well, I mean, Anthony Munoz, but that's not considered Latin America. I'm going to say Jim Plunkett.
Sorry, my friend, that's incorrect. The answer is a player who was born and raised in Honduras to a Honduran mother. His name was Steve Van Buren. He led the NFL in rushing multiple times, and he was on the NFL's all-time 100 best players team.
Yeah, we know Steve Van Buren. Played back in the 40s, I believe, in the 50s. So
beautiful car dealership, too.
Boy, you guys are coming strong today, huh?
I mean, that's because you find me. This is you flaunting 15-0. This is what happens.
Well, but these are brutal questions.
That was a tough question.
Let's go to Steve in Brooklyn. Stevie, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Have to give an early morning call after missing the greatness that was on Saturday.
15-0 on Saturday.
Yep. So four major sports trivia, kind of, but really a football question. So Tadeo Chara tonight will play his first game with the Islanders since 2001, becoming the first major athlete to spend 20 years between games with one franchise. In the NFL, his record belongs to a player who went 15 years between stints with one franchise. Who is it?
Is that the longest?
Yes, that's the longest in NFL history. 15 years between stints with one franchise. And it's a guy you know, and it's not some old-timey guy that did play into the 2000s.
Oh, God. So it's a guy that obviously played for a long time.
Yeah, 15 seasons in the NFL is a long time, yeah. This is back-to-back-to-back tough questions.
These are really hard questions.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
Is it defense or offense?
Offensive player.
15 years in between stints with the same team.
Yeah, that's a long time.
That is a long time.
I will say that Zdeno Chara broke Brandon Shanahan's record of 17 years with the Devils. Alan Chara.
Yeah, no.
Big Z coming back tomorrow night, baby.
Yeah. What is he, like 44 years old?
He's a beast. We're at the All-Star game, and they had his everyone's like, you know, you're at the All-Star game. You see guys you never played with before, so they grab Z's stick because it's humongous, and the guys are trying to flex his stick. And they're like, what's the flex on this thing? Whatever I need, he says.
Sounds like Drago.
Couldn't bend it.
I
can't help you here. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think I know the answer either. I'm going to have to.
Like I said, offensive player, guy you've heard of, and played into the 2000s.
Into the 2000s. I don't know. I can't even take a stab at this. I can't even think of anyone. 15 seasons, NFC.
AFC team.
Oh, I thought you said NFC. AFC team. I don't know. Mark Duper. I have no idea.
There's no guess, huh? Nothing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Doug Flutie, 1989 with the Patriots and back with them in 2005.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I would have never.
He did the drop kick too. Remember the Doug Flutie drop kick?
Of course, for the
that
extra
he's doing
point.
Nugenics. He probably could still play with all that Nugenics.
He's very spry,
dumping into his body.
Wow. These are very difficult questions today. Like almost
you made people
difficult.
Feel a way about you going 15-0. Like,
let's go to Tone
something.
In Huntington and see what Tone in Huntington has to offer. Go ahead, Tone.
Okay, Mr. 15-0.
Yeah.
In the movie Juice, starring Tupac and Omar Epps.
Yeah.
Omar Epps' character name was Quincy. What NFL team was his little brother, NFL team's t-shirt was his little brother wearing?
Oh, my God.
Mr. 15-0.
These questions are insanity.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to guess because I have, and I remember the movie. Queen Latifah, I believe, was in the movie. Samuel Jackson was
yes,
in the movie.
Sir. Uh-huh.
Dr. Dre and Ed Lover, I believe, were in the movie. But
okay.
But I don't believe that I have the answer to this. I'm going to guess, and it will not be right, the Oakland Raiders.
Before I even tell you the answer, why would you guess the Oakland Raiders?
Well, why would I not? I think that's a nice guess.
Okay, well, the movie was set in New York. It's the New York Giants, baby.
Yeah, but you know, I'm thinking like Boys in the Hood. They're all into the Raiders, and that's kind of the avenue I went down.
He's a fraud Giants fan. We get it. We understand.
Yeah,
you uncovered it.
I'm a fraud Giants fan.
What are we, 1-3 right now?
Oh, no, it's like I might as well go 1-11. I feel like the Yankees in the postseason. But some of these questions are, these are not answerable questions.
I mean, I think we got to take one more.
Doug Flutie didn't know that he was the answer to that question.
No, Doug Flutie's all set. I mean, he's all hopped
you
up.
You want to take another?
I think we have to.
Oh, great.
Go with right, Chris. Look, go with an NHL question. At least I can help
but
you.
But I'm not going to know that.
Well, at least I can help you.
Fine. Chris and Bethpage. Great. Go ahead, Chris.
All right. December 2nd, 1979, Barry Beck was traded to the Rangers for four players. All you got to do is name two of them.
Who Come on, Dave. Sent, you're the fake Ranger
sent,
fan.
Who they sent back to Colorado?
Colorado. December 2nd, 1979. I'll give you the year.
Yeah, no, I think Lucien Deblois was one of them.
He's one.
And I think Pat Hickey is another one.
Very good. Very good. Can you name the other two?
I think...
Future Islander.
He's Sal Romano. Mike McEwen might have been another one.
Mike McEwen, very good, number three. And give me the fourth.
I don't know it.
Dean Turner.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But that was okay. That ended well.
Yeah, that's like a late fourth quarter drive. When you're getting blown out, that makes you feel good about next week.
Why are you being so mean?
That was a moral victory. Well, come on, fellas, you got something to build off.
I got. What did I get? Two right?
Yeah, you were two and three.
Two and three, maybe 2-5. Wasn't good.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't get pulled at that point.
You know what? We won't do it next week. We'll take the week off. I'm serious.
This is your own fault, though.
How
again,
my own fault?
15-0. Because
I was.
Did you not hear what Carlos Correa said about that last game?
What
we heard
he
what
say?
They said. Careful what you wish for. We went after their head. We put up 10.
Yeah.
Our callers. We got the best callers in the business.
Yeah, but some of those questions were not good questions.
Well, you got these hacks on Saturday that just listen to you by yourself.
No.
They're troubled human beings.
No. How dare you? Somehow Saturday's audience is at a high level. You know the Saturday
audience bring it like our audience
just
brought it.
1280 on the SATs, they figured out?
Who got a 1280 on the SATs?
The average Saturday listener, 1280 on the SATs.
Stop.
Yeah.
Please.
It's a very high intellectual.
You realize how many people from the Harvard community wake up with us at 5 to listen to me?
The Harvard community.
They play it in...
You think this is up there in Massachusetts that they're listening to the show right now?
I know it is.
Yeah?
Yeah, when I was back in Boston, I swung over there. Hang with some of the alumni.
I'm sure. That's what they're listening to.
When they wake up, listen, they said to me, hey, listen, when we get down to the Charles for rowing.
Rowing, yeah.
We have you guys on.
Uh-huh.
I said, you like that Rothenberg? Yeah, he's not at our level.
Like on the vessel, they're listening to Stump Rothenberg.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
There is a broad expectation within the industry that the Yankees are going to be monsters in the free agent market this winter.
Why shy away from what you are?
Because they think that there's somehow more honor in winning a championship if you are playing the way these other teams have to play.
But it's not cheating, though, Dave.
Right, they don't feel a way about it.
When was the last time the Yankees won a championship? Remind me.
2009.
Okay, what did they do?
They bought it.
They went out and spent a ton of money.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, big 7 o'clock hour. A lot of calls in this hour, I think. 800-919-3776. The show is DiPietro and Rothenberg, presented as always by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on this show appear via the Goodyear hotline. Now, you have to open the show tomorrow. At what point today do you start to spend time of thoughts of when you will open the show tomorrow?
I'm already writing notes down.
I believe that's actually true.
No, that's true. Got a big Rangers game tonight. We'll have to bring
big
that up.
Big game.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I'm going to start scrubbing for more power rankings that have the Jets ahead of the Giants, all sorts of stuff.
Does that really give you enjoyment? And that's where I wanted to spend a couple minutes. See, I don't know why it would. I think it's actually kind of pathetic by you, to be honest. So
I don't disagree.
The new power rankings are out. And the Giants and Jets, both embarrassing. Giants are 30th. Jets are 29th. Lions, Jaguars, the only teams worse than the Giants at the moment. Lions 31. I don't think the Lions are 31, by the way. Jaguars 32. But why does that give you enjoyment, that the Giants are just one notch behind the Jets with the power rankings?
Because I don't think you're willing to accept this. Maybe you are, because you're different. Like, as crazy as you are about your Giants, I mean, there is this realistic view of your team that I appreciate and I respect. That's why I love you. That's why we're best friends. But there's still, I mean, most Giants fans, they still have this vision of their team and what the Giants are and how much better they are than the Jets.
How could you have that reality, vision?
They're just as bad as the Jets.
Currently, last 5 years, they are the Jets. I don't know how you could be a fan of the Giants and look at what they have become and say, you know, hold your head higher than the Jets. The Giants, they haven't had a winning record. Oh, forget about finishing the season with a winning record. They haven't been above 500 since 2016. And I've said this a million times. Do you understand how difficult it is to be this bad for this long? It's not easy.
Now, don't ask a Jets fan that. Yeah, because we know. Yeah, we understand it. I mean, have you taken a peek at our postseason drought? Have you taken a look at that lately? Yeah, we get it. We have the same record as you. Since 2017, we have the identical record, and it's the worst in football.
What are we, 18-50 since then?
But for some reason, Giants fans, and not you, I'm not saying you, still have this, well, we're the Giants. We have this proud history.
Well, the Giants, they do it. Listen, they have a prouder history than the Jets.
Yeah, that's fine, but you've morphed into the Jets, is my point.
Currently, you are the Jets. You're the laughingstock of the NFL, and when does it change? I talked to a buddy of mine yesterday. He's like, I can barely watch the games. This was I did not expect, and I did not believe the Jets would be this bad. They are really bad. That being said, you knew this was going to be a down year for the Jets. What do you think, 5 wins, maybe 6? But they'd be competitive, and they're not, and that's really disheartening. But the Giants were supposed to be good. The Giants were supposed to be a 9-win team that competed all the way through for this division. And is it Dallas? Is it the Giants? Is it Washington? Who's the best team? I think the answer to that is obvious. It's Dallas. But the Giants were supposed to be competitive and were October 13th already, and they're not.
Yeah, but I mean, the Giants, we just got done talking about the Yankees, right? And I mean, how disappointed Yankees fans were with, you know, how the season turned out. And, you know, ultimately it came down to, you know, a bunch of guys that you relied on that, you know, team had penciled in, that Buster Olney, that Tim Kirkchen, that you, that me, that everyone in baseball thought, you know, on paper, talent-wise, should be good enough to be the best team in the American League. Guess what happened? Those guys didn't play well, and they underachieved. So the team wasn't nearly as good. So all those expectations we had for the Giants, we were talking about how many wins they would have this season, was based around what we thought we would see coming into the season, what we saw last year, and how that would translate into this year. And the one thing we both said, and I think every Giants, you know, every Giants fan hung their hat on, was we're going to have a good defense. We're going to have a really good defense now.
Yeah, the defense is lousy. And they get no pressure on the quarterback. Now they've lost Martinez. Their secondary is average at best.
So that, I mean, that's the reason why there were conversations about, you know, Giants potentially competing for this division.
Which seems asinine at the moment.
The same, I mean, you don't think Washington was having, they're not having the same conversation on Sports Talk Radio now?
They might be a bigger disappointment than the Giants.
Oh, that's not even a question. Their defense is nothing like what we expected.
Their defense stinks. Like, Washington, all I heard was, and we had this discussion on the show, what's the best unit in this division? Well, it could be one of two. It's either Washington's defense or Dallas's offense. Washington's defense, if you didn't know anything, you would just think that Washington's defense was awful. You watch them play, everybody dices them up. The Giants dice them up. God knows what Kansas City will do this weekend. New Orleans, 33 points against them. It's an embarrassment for the level of expectation that you had with Washington to what they are is an embarrassment this year.
Yeah, no one. I mean, Greeny, every single day on Get Up. This is my team. I'm rolling with Washington. They're going to win the division. They could give the Bucks trouble because their defense is so good. And they've been a disaster, a complete disaster. What adds insult to, I mean, no pun intended, injury with you guys now is what happened to Daniel Jones. What happened to Saquon Barkley? No Kenny Galladay. Now, Tony's iffy for this week.
Yeah, he's going to play, I think.
No, he'll be surprised. I'm not worried about him playing. But Galladay's not playing.
No, he's going to be out for at least a week or two. So do
and now
we know
I think you got to make a decision with Daniel Jones. I don't know. Like, I don't listen, after watching what he looked like being through that, and I know he's a tough kid, so he'll want to come back. With all the guys that you're going to be missing going into this game against the Rams, oh, by the way, who have extra day, you know, are on 10 days rest.
Yeah, because they played that Thursday night game.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm pushing Daniel Jones to play.
So if you don't, I mean, if you're not going to win, it's unlikely you're going to win this game to begin with. If you don't have Daniel Jones, you have literally zero chance to win this game this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know, even if you had Daniel Jones, what your chances are to win this game.
Anyway. I agree with you, but you give them a much better chance to win if Jones plays than if Mike Glennon is your quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Jones is your starting quarterback. Mike Glennon is your backup for a reason. But, I mean, Daniel Jones with no Saquon, no Galladay, I mean, a less than 100% Andrew Thomas.
It's a nightmare. It is. What we are living through, a nightmare, and we're 1-4. We have 12 more of these. 12 more nightmares. Right now, let's take a listen to this from Max Kellerman. KJM, of course, comes your way every weekday morning from 8 to 10 here on 98.7 ESPN. He says even if Jones is good, Gettleman gets no credit here.
Daniel Jones, I think, has a chance to be a high average quarterback. I'm supposed to wait 4 or 5 years for that and thank the GM? You got me a high average quarterback after half a decade? And then for how many years? Like, that's garbage. Anyone can do that. If you give them control of a franchise for 4 or 5 years and always picking high up in the draft, that means nothing. No credit for that. Zero.
I couldn't disagree with that take more. What do you mean you get no credit for it? I mean, have you seen what the Jets have done with high-end quarterback drafts? What they've done with the quarterback?
Yeah, but
let's not forget, too, that last year was completely ravaged by COVID, and you didn't have an offseason or anything else.
And this is his third year, and he looks to be much better this year than he was last year.
Yeah, I mean, stop it. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, and no one thought that Daniel Jones should have been drafted 6th overall, but Gettleman saw something that he really liked.
That's right.
You know, I'll tell you what.
The thing that drives me crazy is?
Dave, the kid's temperament is perfect.
He's built for New York. I agree. The thing that drives me insane is that Gettleman loved Justin Herbert, loved him, and wanted him. And had he come out in the year that Jones came out, he would be on the Giants right now.
Well, yeah, Justin Herbert. I mean, you had Ben McAdoo beating the table for Pat Mahomes. The whole thing went sideways when you made the decision to try to roll back with Eli again. That was the beginning of...
That's what happens when you chase. That's what happens when you chase, and you take a running back second overall.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.